Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm chapter 4 this morning. I'm going to read one verse, and then we're going over to the book of Kings for the message, 1 Kings chapter number 18. So if you want to stick your finger in there. We've been preaching along the lines now for several services where the Bible said in Psalm chapter 4, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still, Selah. Would you read that with me? Let's read it together. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still, Selah. Now, if you'll turn over to the book of Kings, 1 Kings chapter number 18, I want to show you where the Lord had me to stand in awe. On Friday evening, as I prayed and looked to God for the direction of this service today, the Word of God in verse number 38, somebody tell me what the first word is in verse 38. Then. Boy, that got my attention. Then. And I started looking at what happened before this, before the fire fell. The Bible said, then the fire of the Lord fell. I'm going to pray in just a moment, but I want to ask y'all a question. Have you ever been in a service or a place where the fire fell? Where God did things, Brother Griswold, I appreciate that. You couldn't explain them. Say amen. I've said for years God could get more done 30 seconds than we can in 30 years. Amen. Then the fire of the Lord fell. Things happen when the fire falls. This is a manifestation of God's approval. And when God is approving of what's going on, things happen. Things happen in a marriage when God's approving of what's going on. Things happen in a church when God's approving of what's going on. People be reconciled when the fire of the Lord falls. Brother Ralph, when the fire falls, our pride goes out the window. And all we want is Him. And all we want is Him to have His way. Pray with me, would you please? Father, thank you this morning for the Word of God. Thank you for the Sunday school hour. Thank you for each one, Lord, that's come this way today. Some, Lord, are battling things physically in their lives, and yet they chose to come on to the house of God. How grateful we are, Lord. Some, Lord, this morning are even in pain as they sit here today. And yet, Lord, they desire to see the Lord work in our midst and in their hearts. Father, this morning, it is my prayer that you would help this pastor to be a help. Lord, I know today that there are many, 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 many ways, Lord, that we need you. The songwriter said, we need you every hour, most precious Lord. Lord, I pray today that you would have your way in this service and help us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. If you go back over to verse number 21, I guess I believe this is where the Lord wants us to start with this little thought. The Bible said in verse number 21, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? This message, I'm telling you today, I believe it could take 2 hours to deliver. I'm not trying to scare you. But I'm trying to tell you, beloved, there's a desperation in my heart to see the fire fall. One more time. There's a lot of people in our world stuck, Brother Preston, between two opinions. I'm just trying to mind the Lord this morning. I don't have no notes on this right here. But I thought about these young people. I saw some of them's beautiful faces in the choir. They go down there and the science teacher tells them that they come from a monkey. That a blob rolled up on the shore somewhere and grew some legs. You know what I'm talking about. There's two opinions. There they are, stuck between two opinions. You say, preacher, what would cause them to have the right opinion? I tell you what would cause them to have the right opinion. If the fire falls. There's people that are stuck. You say, preacher, you shouldn't mention this, but they're stuck. They're stuck between socialism and capitalism. You say, preacher, what would be the answer? I tell you what would be the answer. Just let the fire fall. I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to find a bunch of people interested in being a communist if the fire falls. Because we're free. People today, some say, well, I don't see nothing wrong with same-sex marriage. And others say, yeah, there's something wrong with it. The one fellow running for office, you listen to me, is always saying, the Scripture tells us, read it all! What would help us in this generation? The fire needs to fall. You wouldn't be stuck between two opinions if the fire falls. Amen? This morning, the Lord has dealt very strongly and very powerfully with my heart. I don't know how much of this we actually have to read to get the point across, but God gave me three things that I want to look at. Let me just stop just a minute. Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. Brother Steve, you ever been in a service where God just showed up? I like what Brother Danny Sykes said. He said, God shows up. He said, I'll hold his coattail anytime. In other words, I don't have to have anything in the service. If God wants to have his way, that's more important than my way. Brother Larry, you ever been in a service where the fire fell? Where somebody wasn't waiting on a preacher to give an invitation. They just coming in the altar. Broken. You know, why is it? Where did we get the idea that if somebody come to the altar, there's something wrong in their life? That may be the case, but did you ever stop and think that may not be the case? What happened to moms and dads that were broken over their children and their grandchildren growing up without God? Growing up in a society that's got the wrong opinion. Elijah said, if God be God, serve him. And if Baal be God, then serve him. Don't be stuck in the middle. What if we approached every service at Bible Way Baptist Church like this? Oh God, somebody may come through those doors today that's hung right there between two opinions. And the only hope is that the fire falls. I'm trying to preach this morning. My mind went back to February 22nd, 1987. I sat right about here on the front bench of a Baptist church. There's two opinions. The Lord Jesus was dealing with my heart. I'd been a church member for 6.5 years.
Everybody in that building, everybody in that county thought I saved by the grace of God. But I'm going to tell you what, the fire fell.
Amen.
I was hung between two opinions. The old devil said, they'll make fun of you. They'll throw you out of this church. You know what God said, son? You better not worry about what they think, what they say, or what they do. You're lost without God. Your life has never been changed by the blood of Jesus. And the fire fell. I'm not talking about strange fire. Y'all know about that in the Bible, don't you? This world's full of that mess. I'm talking about the fire of God. I'm talking about the fire that makes a difference. I'm talking about the fire that purifies. I've never been so pure in all my life as I was that night when the Lord came by. Right there in the midst of all that mess that I was in, he said, I love you. He loves you this morning. Then the Word of God said, then the fire fell. What happened? I picked up on some things. I've read this story. If you've taught the Bible, preached the Bible, or even seriously studied the Bible, you've read it. You've read this story over and over and over again. There's a contest going on between Elijah, the man of God, and the prophets of Baal. And Elijah said, I'll tell you what we'll do. I'm just paraphrasing now. I said, we'll just make an altar, and we'll put the sacrifice upon the altar, and y'all can pray to your God, and I'll pray to my God. And the God that answers by fire, that's the God that we'll serve. They all agreed. They said, you know what? That's a pretty good idea. And that's what's going on in this text. Look with me, if you will. Let me show you. I don't know how far I'm going to get this morning. The Bible said in verse 25, and Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods. I want you to underline that, G-O-D-S-S, little g, with an S on the end of it. This world's full of them. This world's full of little G-O-D-S-S. But there's only one, capital G-O-D. The Bible said here, call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any answered. Can I just tell you this morning? A dead God can't speak, and a dead God can't answer. And the Word of God said here, they leaped upon the altar which was made. I don't know how I missed this all these years. The Bible said they leaped upon it. And I'm going to show you what I missed. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he's talking, or he's pursuing, or he's in a journey. Or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awakened. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after the manner with knives and lances till the blood gushed out upon them. This is a mess. Do you see them leaping upon the altar? Do you see that? I want you to watch something now. Never had caught this before. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. Watch this now. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? Then, the Word of God said, the fire fell. What happened first? Something had to be repaired. Listen to me this morning. The fire will never fall until some things are repaired. I made a few notes as God dealt with my heart. Pride has leaped upon the altar and broken it down. And the altar needs to be repaired. I made another note. Priorities have leaped upon the altar. And it's broken down. And if the fire ever falls, it'll have to be repaired. presumptuous sin. In other words, beloved, I know it's not right, but has leaped upon the altar, and the altar is broken down. Then, that word's important, Brother Steve, it didn't happen until then. The altar had to be repaired. Beloved, let me say this to you. God's in the repairing business. We want the fire to fall. Something needed to be repaired. The altar is a place of worship. The altar is a place of repentance. The altar is a place of rekindling. The altar is a place of intercession. Brother John, when God was speaking to my heart, I thought about those tent meetings that you and Brother Billy used to do together. And surely to God, somewhere, you've seen the fire fall under that tent. And God do things that only God could do. One of the reasons God did what he was doing is because the altar had been repaired. Let me say something to you that's on my heart. I didn't make a note about it, but God's brought it back to my attention. There are people in this room this morning that this evening, they're providentially hindered. They won't be back. There's health reasons. There's things like that. But let me say something to you this morning. It would be wonderful to know that at 6 o'clock this evening, the television was turned off and the radio was turned off. If you can't make it back to the house of God, that you'd fall on your knees with your family and that you'd say, oh God, the choir's fixing to sing. Oh God, the preacher's fixing to preach. Oh God, let the fire fall. But there are people in this room that won't be providentially hindered this evening. You heard me. You say, preacher, when is it? When is it that something needs to be repaired? When the altar's dry. And there's no brokenness over sin. There's no brokenness over souls. When God's people are no longer tearful, when God's people are no longer faithful, when God's people are no longer joyful, the altar's broken down. Turn with me in the Bible to the book of James. Brother Logan, this is a little bit of a rough message for you to get on the first time around. But if you know Jesus, you know I'm telling it right this morning. Our churches, we come as we are, go as we can't go as we came. We need God to change us. We need God to challenge us. Beloved, this morning, Elijah didn't run from the challenge. He ran to it. Then the fire fell. James chapter number 5. Turn there this morning. James chapter number 5. In the book of James, Hebrews, James, Peter. James chapter number 5. I never realized this until I looked at this. I didn't realize exactly in its context, and we're going to look at it. I said when God's people are no longer tearful, something needs to be repaired. When God's people are no longer faithful, something needs to be repaired. When God's people are no longer joyful, something needs to be repaired. But let me give you this. When God's people are no longer graceful, something needs to be repaired. What do you mean graceful, preacher? That means, Brother Steve, you'll never hear me criticize you because things didn't go exactly the way Brother Steve's always, he's the organized man. God put us together. I'm the unorganized man. Brother Steve's the organized man. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That bothered Brother Steve this morning, but it didn't bother this pastor. Not one bit in the world. You say, what do you mean? Did everything didn't go just exactly like he would have life worked him in. If you knew about his week, I know about his week. I know where he's been. I know he's been about the Father's business. I know he didn't get in till midnight last night. Amen.
Amen.
Yet if you're not careful in a congregation this size, somebody will say, oh, wonder why he didn't get it right. Wonder why you don't. None of us always get it right. But when God's people are graceful, then we forgive each other. And we don't let that stuff come between us. Now, I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Two of them, real quickly. How many knows what it is when the fire falls? Raise your hand if you know what it is. Sister Rachel, do you see now why I thought about you the other night when God was showing me where he wanted me to go? Sister Rachel has said to me with tears and a broken heart many times, oh, preacher, I'd love to see it like it used to be. Well, it can be. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. In case you haven't noticed, I have nothing for modernism. Nothing. You want to have a rock concert? Have one, but not in the house of God. God's people. Look at verse 7 of chapter number 5. The Bible said, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. How many believes he's coming? Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. How come, Pastor, you never saw this in its context? How come you never saw this in the light of what happened on Mount Carmel? I don't know. Except to know this, God will show you some things when you need to see them. The next verse says, grudge not one against another. Brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth at the door. I said when God's people are not graceful, something needs to be repaired. Watch this. Take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job. Ye have seen the end of the Lord, how that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. And above all things, brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest you fall into condemnation. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if any have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Watch this. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. How many knows who this is making reference to right here? Look in the next verse. Elias, that's talking about Elijah. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it may not rain, and it rained not upon the earth for the space of 3.5 years. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. I'm telling you, beloved, when the fire falls, something needs to be repaired. The altar of God was broken down before the fire. Then, before the fire was going to fall, the altar had to be repaired. I hope what I'm preaching to you is not foreign this morning. I hope that there's enough men and enough women in this congregation that has a desire in their heart to see the fire fall once again. that it wouldn't matter to them what somebody thinks if they got up and come in this altar and poured their heart out to God. Said, God, help our pastor. God, help our family. God, help our country. God, help our school system. God, help us. Amen. Because we want to see it rain. You all know me well enough to know that I'm going to do my best to preach what God gives me. But I'm going to tell you something. Brother Ikett gets discouraged at times. Sister, you know who you are. You said, Pastor, you preach your guts out. She's talking about that in a good way. You put your heart into it. Sometimes it gets discouraging, Brother Steve. You pastored many years. Brother Larry, you pastored many years. It seems like nothing moves anybody. Elijah. He said, then the fire fell. The Methodist church is halted between two opinions. So they're going to split. I know I'm right. Whether a sodomite ought to be standing in the pulpit or not. Let me tell you something. Should have been split a long time ago when it got to a woman standing in the pulpit. You say, you got no business saying that. I did, and I got a Bible that backs me up. People halted between two opinions when it comes to baptism. We got a Bible. When they start burying them with a shovel of dirt, then sprinkling might do. But when they keep burying them by covering them up, they want to be covered up when we get baptized. Halt. You say, preacher, you're never going to fix it. What am I trying to say? That's exactly right. But if the fire falls, people won't care what somebody thinks. They'll line up with the Word of God. You know what I'm afraid of, Brother David? I'm afraid my grandchildren will grow up and never see them fire fall. Never see a move of God. Where it wasn't because some famous preacher stood up or somebody stirred somebody up in their emotion. But beloved, because the fire of God fell. It caused people to move. It's almost 5 after 12. Y'all all right? Brother Brian, every time I come to this pulpit, I try to come like it might be the last time I ever get to stand. No guarantee I'll be back tonight. No guarantee I'll be alive tonight. No guarantee for you either. Then, let me give you a couple more things quickly. The first thing was, something needs to be repaired. Then the fire fell. The second thing is, something needs to be remembered. Look in verse number 31 of our text. In verse number 31, the Bible said, and Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. You say, preacher, what do we need to remember? How many knows what those 12 stones represent? It's a memorial. There's two things this morning, and I won't stay here long, that we need to remember. We need to remember who we are. Are you a child of God this morning? Have you been washed in the blood of Jesus? Have you been born from above, born again? We need to remember who we are. Secondly, and more importantly than the first one, is we need to remember who He is. In other words, when we come in this altar, Brother Wayne, and we come and pray for a young man that we love with all of our heart, we need to remember who we are, that we have access into the throne. But we need to remember who He is. Though it may have been years that we prayed, that He's still God, and that in a moment of time, He can answer that prayer. If we're not careful, help me right here. We forget who we are. Brother Gary, we forget who He is. We forget what He can do. Sister Kathy, I've met Scotty. It's not encouraging. It just seems like there's nothing there. But I'm going to keep going. Because I know who He is. How many of you are burdened for somebody that's lost? I looked this morning. Please don't take this the wrong way. But when Rusty and Hannah's picture was up there, those youngins are beautiful. I mean, they just make a beautiful couple. Wouldn't you have to say that? But you know what? I know well enough to know that it ain't all going to be a bed of roses. They're going to face some struggles along the way. They're going to see things differently along the way. You say, preacher, what's their hope? Their hope is that right in the middle of their home will be the fire of God. That's their hope. That's our hope. Then the fire fell. And then lastly this morning, something needs to be rehearsed. It's a simple message, isn't it? Something needed to be repaired. Something needed to be remembered. But something needed to be rehearsed. I want y'all to see this. Go with me, if you will, beloved, over here to verse number 36. The Word of God said, and it came to pass. I'll give you a little bit back up. I'll just paraphrase. But I believe Elijah, they filled four barrels of water. And did he do that twice? Well, let me go back up there. Pour it on the burnt sand. Do it the second time. Do it the second time. No, they did it three times. They did it a third time. They filled four barrels of water. This is after Elijah repaired the altar, put the stones in the altar for a memorial, put the bullock upon the altar, and there's a ditch around the altar. And Elijah says, I don't want anybody to be mixed up when God gets done here. Pour water all over it. Do it again. Do it again. You say, preacher, what'd you get out of that? You know what the Bible said? I'll pour water on him that's thirsty. I believe with all of my heart, Elijah didn't want anybody to be mixed up. You're halting between two opinions. When God gets done here today, you're going to have to make up your mind. You're either going to have to get in or get out. And by the way, beloved, that's what happens when the fire falls. People have to make up their mind. Something needs to be rehearsed. Look at verse 36. It came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near, and he said, here's his prayer. I want to tell you this before I counted it frontwards and backwards. Y'all know how to count backwards? I counted it both ways.
Brother Steve, 63 words. 63 words. Watch what he said. Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire fell. What's he rehearsing here? First of all, let me just give you three things quickly. Number one, they're words of power. He starts out with, Lord God. Brother Ralph, we don't have to pray all night to get through. 63 words. By the way, let me just say this. I believe there's something else to be said right here. I believe Elijah could pray briefly in public because Elijah was praying thoroughly in private. How many understands what I just said? There's some people, if you're hungry, you don't want to ask them to ask a blessing. They're going to get caught up on their prayer life. Say amen. I've tried to teach people the hungry man's prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Just kidding, Brother Ralph. Words of power, Lord God. Secondly, words of purpose. You say, preacher, what was the purpose? He says here in verse number 36, let it be known this day that thou art God. That was the whole purpose of this thing. Not that Elijah would be known, but that God would be known. Watch this, in verse number 37, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God. There'd be all kinds of reasons that a church could want to see the fire of God fall. Maybe so somebody go talk about our church this week. It ain't going to fall. Maybe somebody go talk about the preacher this week. It ain't going to fall. So somebody go talk about your singing this week. It ain't going to fall. The pure motive to want to see the fire of God fall is that everybody will know He's God. He said, preacher, in a church like this, everybody knows. You'd be surprised. I'll tell you right now, the average Baptist church wouldn't set two services under John the Baptist. The average Baptist church wouldn't set two services under Jesus. Am I right or am I wrong? If the Apostle Paul sent his resume in, couldn't you see the average Baptist pulpit committee going over Paul's resume? Fella, the head of the committee, will speak up and say, hey, we don't need this guy. He can't stay out of jail. Am I right or am I wrong? Words of purpose. And then I want to give you this, no less important. They're words that are personal. What's your personal prayer life look like? Here's 63 words. They're words of power, words of purpose, words that are personal. You say, preacher, where do you get the words that are personal? Look in verse number 36. He said here, I am. Brother Steve, there's not a greater thing than you and I could say to the Lord, I am thy servant. It's personal. I can't serve him for you, Brother Steve, and you can't serve him for me. But you can serve him for you. It's personal. Not only I am thy servant, but I believe the Scripture. You say, preacher, what do you mean? He said, I've done all these things. Notice these three little words. At thy word. It was personal. A man of God has absolutely no authority outside of the Word of God. But if a man of God's in the Word of God, he don't have to apologize for what he's preached. I am thy servant. I believe the Scripture.
And the third thing was personal. I believe in supplication. You say, preacher, what do you mean? He said, hear me, O God. Hear me. Hear me. This morning, it would be wonderful if there was a hunger once again to see the fire of the Lord fall. It would be wonderful if there were people that would understand what it is that's broken the altar down in their life and have a determination to get it repaired. So much is at stake. I looked over there at Silas a while ago. That boy has got to be eating spinach. Three, he does like spinach. I knew he did. That's how you tell a prophet. No, I'm just kidding on that. But he is growing. I want to see Silas know what it is. To see, you know what I'd like, Brother Preston? I'd like for a teen group to come out of the teen room one night. Say, Pastor, you ain't going to believe it. The fire of God fell. The fire of God fell. The fire of God fell. Then, the altar's got to be repaired. There's something to be repaired. There's something to remember. And there's something to rehearse. Let's bow our heads for prayer.